help and feed folks and the meals, and just a blessing, a huge blessing, and I praise the Lord for them, and I'm so glad God directed them here. So what a great song. Amen. That was wonderful. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2 this evening. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. We need to keep praying for our country, and it's sad. A lot of things going on, and just need to pray and be, as Brother Alexander preached this morning, an encouragement to people, point people to the truth. Pray for down in Atlanta and all that's going on down there, people to calm down, and pray for Seattle. And tell you what, Brother Jeff Huggins and his family left and the place fell apart, so we see what was holding it all together. Yeah, all right. Didn't change much when you left, Brother Tyler. I'm just, all right. So, but pray. There's just a lot going on up there. Pray for Dylan. He called. He's got a really bad migraine. He asked us to pray for him tonight as well. And we're going to open our message up tonight, praying as we did on Thursday. Introduce the Lord's prayer request, and we want to try to do that on Sunday nights, bring that before the Lord as a church. The Lord's there, and the Word of God tells us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would bring forth labors. And so we're going to pray tonight as before we look at the message and ask God to bring forth labors. And that's what the Lord asks us to pray for. I think it's what we should pray for. And so let's bow our heads, good Lord, in prayer, and then we'll look at the passage of Scripture here. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we do pray for our country. I pray that, Lord, you just please be with all the unrest all across the country, north, south, east, and west. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would just work and intervene, and may your churches be a lighthouse, Lord, to a very dark world. Father, I pray for the situation down in Atlanta, that, Lord, you would allow people to calm down, and that, God, justice would be done, and Lord, law and order supported there. Father, I pray that you would just put a hedge of protection around the innocent. Father, I pray for Seattle that, Lord, things would, Lord, just return to, Lord, the way they should be. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you just please work in people's lives, and I pray there be no spark that would ignite anything there. Father, I pray for Washington, that, Lord, our capital, that, Lord, you would just work in our elected officials' hearts and our president, give them wisdom. Lord, we pray for our country, God. I just pray that, Lord, your forgiveness and your mercy, and then, God, you just work and help us as a church, and all of your churches to be, Lord, just a beacon of hope in this world. And Father, I pray, Lord, that these things just go together. We pray for the request that your Son asked us to pray for. We pray to you that, God, you would send forth labors. I pray that you would rise up young men and men. I pray that, Lord, they would be surrendered to your will, and that, God, you might send some, Lord, into this harvest that is, it's white, it's ready. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you just work on hearts, and not just for pastors and missionaries, but, Lord, here at the church, you'd rise up laborers to work the fields and to, Lord, to reach folks and love folks and point them to you. And God, we just pray that, Lord, you just give the fruit according to your will. And Lord, let us bless this message and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, and we looked at last week, verse number 1 and 2, we saw Paul's total commitment. And in doing so, we saw his coming there in verse number 1, that it was not in vain. God had blessed, and a work had been established there in Thessalonica. Then we saw his condition in verse number 2. We saw at the first part of verse number 2 that he was beaten. When he got there, he still had the fresh wounds from Philippi. It would have motivated the folks there. It would have drawn their attention. They would have seen the dedication in the life of Paul. And we stopped and just thought about all those who have gone before us. And may their death, may their sufferings be a motivation to us in the world that we live in as well. We saw in verse number 2 also their boldness. And we talked about, it's kind of what we ended with last week, and the boldness of the Apostle Paul, how boldness comes in the Word of God from, number one, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then boldness comes from assurance and not allowing the devil to bring doubt and discouragement into your life. We saw that boldness comes from studying, and study to show thyself approved unto God. The more you get in this book, the more you'll be confident in this book. And then through supplication, through prayer, Ephesians chapter number 6, after the armor of God, praying that we be filled with all boldness. And then we looked at and we closed the message last week. And, you know, as some people think, well, Paul, of course he was. He's the Apostle Paul. But then we saw him there in Corinth from the book of Acts, and that he had a time of weakness. Not that he sinned. He just was physically trembling. He was full of fear in his life. He was weak. And when he got to Corinth, the Lord used people to encourage him, to refresh him. We heard a message, a great message this morning, on another that God used to refresh him. And we see the importance of this, because I don't care who you are, we all get down at times. And we all need each other to help lift each other up. And we looked at Paul and his encouragement there that gave him boldness to go on and do the work. So we saw Paul's, here in verse number 1 and 2, his total commitment. Now we're going to pick up in verse number 3, and we see Paul's transparent conduct. You see his claim in verse 3 and 4. Let's read, we'll actually read a few verses here. But look at verse number 3, and we'll pick up preaching tonight. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, for nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now let's look at this passage here, and you see back in verse number 3, again, we see Paul's claim. Paul's claim in verse 3 and 4. At verse number 3, we see his integrity was undoubted. He says, therefore, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. You see here his integrity, undoubted. First of all, the truth displayed in verse number 3. They knew at Thessalonica what motivated Paul. It was not fame. It was not fortune. It was not power. He wasn't looking to build an empire. He wasn't looking to build a name for himself. He wasn't there trying to get out of them a bunch of money to be able to, you know, build himself a nice retirement, a nest egg. That wasn't his goal. He only had one motivation. His motivations, it was very clear. He had zero unclean motives, zero unclear motives, and zero ulterior motives. Everyone knew why he came. He came for one purpose: to reach souls. Unfortunately, a lot of what is under the tag of religion today can't testify of that. Send me your money, right? And all the things that are going on. And even, unfortunately, independent Baptist churches. Many times we get trapped into this mentality that we're trying to build this big empire or have the biggest building, or, you know, and I'm not, if God gives a big building, amen. God, I love big churches. Praise the Lord. Church of Jerusalem got to be pretty large, right? Praise the Lord for that. But we cannot forget, it's not about building a giant monstrosity ministry sitting on this property. It's about reaching the world. And so if we send people out, we could keep, you know, everybody here, and we could. But the fact is, if we're sending to Colorado, we're sending to Mexico, and these are good families. These are working families. The Alexanders going down to Florida, a tremendous family. They would, if they stayed here, no doubt they would help build the church. No doubt their ministry would be unbelievable. But God is leading them to go down there to Florida. And we are behind it 100,000% because we're not here to build a giant empire. We're here to spread out and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about hoarding money. I'm thankful that we do things decently and in order. I'm thankful that we speak about things. We vote on things. But the fact is this, the Lord's coming back soon. I think all of us agree on that. And if we leave $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in the bank and have done nothing with it, the devil's going to get it. And I think we ought to prepare for things, and I think we ought to be ready for emergencies and all this. And we do that, and we're doing that, and we're taking care of what? We're in the process of doing these things. But don't forget, we need to reach the world. And we're not to be a bank and hoard everything up. We should just be a conduit and let God work through us. Paul said, there's no doubt, everyone knew when I came, in verse number 3, when we taught you, when we preached to you, when we spoke to you, there was no deceit there, there was no uncleanness, there was no guile there. You know why we came. You see the truth displayed. In verse number 4, the first part of verse number 4, you see the truth declared. He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Paul talks about something that's very important for us to stop and consider tonight, that he had been, and they had been given, a sacred trust. It says there in the verse, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. They were allowed of God. Now, what that term right there, allowed of God, means, it means this, they were deemed worthy. They were deemed worthy to be entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's great for Paul. I want you to take a great big breath here and think about what I'm about to tell you. That God has deemed Cazadell Baptist Temple worthy to be put in trust with the gospel. Right here in our community, but as I speak tonight, we've been entrusted with a ministry down in Arlington Heights. And we've been entrusted with a ministry down in Mexico. And we have been entrusted with a ministry over in Colorado. We're being entrusted with a ministry down in southern Florida. We are being entrusted with a ministry of a bus route in Goshen and in Milford. We are being entrusted with a ministry at area nursing homes. We're being entrusted with the ministry of your Sunday school class and your junior church, our internet ministry, and all these different things. Friends, we have been allowed of God to do some wonderful things. And I know I say this a lot, but I just think sometimes we take it for granted. We're not a huge church. We don't have 1,000 people on Sunday. But our ministry and what God has allowed us to do is far greater than the number that we have, just logically speaking. To have the outreach, and I'm not here in any way to puff up our head, all thanks be unto God, all glory be to God. But understand this, that He has allowed us. What that means and what the phrase means, and we have those ministries, amen? I mean, we have those people sent out of our church. Amen? They are gifts from God. The evangelist in the Word of God is a gift to the church. And so we look at these things and we have to understand that God didn't just say, well, I'm going to take a chance here and see what Cazadell does with this, all right? He has watched, he has observed, God has now entrusted with us the gospel. Stop and ponder that a second. We have a great responsibility from God. We have a great, great responsibility, and it's something that we should take very seriously. From the ministry down at Hope, to the one in Mexico, to your Sunday school class, to the junior church, to the bus route. God has entrusted us with the gospel. It's so important that we understand that this is what more important message is there in the world than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a sacred trust. Everything that Christ did in the message of eternal salvation, God has entrusted us. He has allowed us to take this and to share it. That's a great responsibility. That's one, because at a Baptist temple, that should put us on our knees every week. Say, God, may I please be found faithful. You can read the book of Revelation. You can interpret it how you want to. But in chapters 2 and 3, I believe the Bible teaches that when the church neglects that entrusting, when the church shuns that, when the church doesn't care for it, when the church loses its love for it, when the church allows the world to come in and to corrupt it, those candlesticks can be removed. But right now, God has given us that opportunity, and we should praise Him for it. We should thank Him for it. And we should share it with all that we can. You see a sacred trust, and you see a simple task. It says here in the verse, it says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak." That's it. I mean, that's it. I spent a few minutes talking about how great a responsibility this is. I said, well, what do we do with it? We tell people. That's it. Amen? We tell people. We share it. We teach it. We instruct it. We preach it. We do everything we can to get this gospel out. I thank the Lord for our church. And here I'm working and putting together some things, and Brother Souza's going to work with me on it. And I'm going to show you, you know, and I know I mentioned this before, everything that, you know, I know the internet has all kinds of terrible things on it. I get it, all right? But at the same time, you can use it for a lot of good things too. And we're doing our best, because unfortunately that's where people are. If they're looking for a church, they don't pick up a phone book anymore. If you still got one, that's cool, all right? But they don't do that anymore, all right? They look on the internet. When people, that message, there's so many different opportunities, and we're doing our best to take hold of that. And you would never convince me of anything other than the fact that if Paul had that at his fingertips, he would have done backflips. You mean I can share this with everyone across the world right now? Amen, all right? You know, we just want to get the word out. Because that's a responsibility. It's a simple task to speak it, just to tell somebody. That's pretty simple, amen? Talking. Y'all can talk. I've heard you, all right? After church, everyone practices it. It's pretty cool, all right? You know, we all talk. It's a great thing, all right? God has allowed us to do that. So, how many did you tell this week? How many did you hand a tract to this week? How many? Praise the Lord, I had a visitor this morning. It was a blessing. I went up and introduced myself and said, "Were you just passing through or someone invite you?" He said, "Oh, someone invited me." Praise the Lord for that. That's our duty. Speak it. Just to share it. Find somebody. Every member of this church, find one this week and share it. What greater message has ever been in the world than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? God handed that to you. He has handed it to us. We have been allowed of God to be put in trust with it. Let's share it. Just tell someone this week. As we get closer to our Sunday school classes and our buses, prepare. Pray. All the ministries that God's given us. But you see here Paul's claim. His integrity was undoubted. Here in verse 3, in the beginning of verse number 4. Then you see his integrity was undaunted. In verse number 4, the last part of verse number 4. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He preached and he shared the gospel, but he wasn't there to please men, but God. Simple statement, I think everyone would amen it. But the fact is this, the pulpit must never be intimidated by the pew. In other words, we shouldn't just preach what people want to hear. We should preach the whole counsel of God. We should not just, you know, and it's warned about that in the last days, There's going to be many who are going to have teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're going to scratch your back, you scratch their back. Let's not offend anybody. Let's just make everybody happy. And that's the world that we live in today, unfortunately. And I'm not going to do any impersonations of different preachers that are doing that, but it's there. The fact is this, we need strong preaching. We need the Word of God to be preached. We need the whole counsel of God to be preached. We need the truth to be shared. Paul did not come to Thessalonica or anywhere he went to put on a show. He came to preach the Word of God. He came to please the Savior. And I know that sounds like something that we just all like, yes, of course. But I think sometimes we are so blessed in our church life that we have here that we don't understand what's going on in a lot of different places around the country in churches. That the church house has become nothing but a coffee bar with a rock concert. When everything is just about making everybody just feel really comfortable. You know, when you read the Bible and you read what the Word of God says, it should challenge you at times. It should be as the Word at looking in a mirror. Now, why do you look in a mirror? I mean, the Bible is like a mirror. Amen? Well, why do you look in a mirror? All right? If you're like me, you do that every once in a while for one reason, to make sure you don't look stupid. Oh, yeah, my tie's over here. Let me straighten that. You know, my hair is all a mess. Let me comb it. I don't put on makeup. Some of you do. All right? You know, I can't be accused of that part, but I know that ladies use mirrors. All right? I've had to buy like 4 in the last year for all the different ladies in my household. All right? I get it. Why do you do it? Because you're looking in that mirror to say, what can I correct? That's the way we look at the Word of God. Instead, we have preachers getting up saying, you're cool. You're good. You don't have to change a thing. I'm sorry, that's false teaching. Paul said, I did not come to please men. I came to preach the whole counsel of God. And may we be found just as faithful. So you see here, we see Paul's claim in verses 3 and 4. Now in verse number 5, you see Paul's conduct. Paul's conduct, starting in verse number 5. You see what he shunned in verse number 5 in the first part of 6. It says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. You see what Paul shunned. Paul shunned the very 3 things that unfortunately a lot of religious deceivers focus upon. Those 3 things are guile, gain, and glory. He says there again in the verse, neither at any time used we flattering words to build up someone, to try to give them, to give you what you want. Flattery. I think it's right, as Brother Agdana preached this morning, to praise and to take the opportunity every chance you get. And I try to do that with church. You know, I praised last Sunday, you know, praise for the giving and the faithfulness of God's people at our church. Praise for all the ministries and the effort and the sacrifice and the time at our church. What a wonderful thing. But I at the same time, I'm not here to puff you up and just to make you feel good about yourself. Sometimes I got to preach things that are hard. Sometimes we have to preach things and we see things that need to be corrected. And here, Paul said, I'm not here to use flattering words, not trying to deceive you, and I'm not trying to just get gain from you. It says in verse number 5, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. He wasn't there just to take their money. He wasn't there just to see what he could get out of them. Matter of fact, numerous times, Paul in his ministry, though the Word of God taught that he was absolutely worthy of them taking care of him financially, many times he purposely did not. Because of the stage that the churches were in, he wanted them to know he wasn't there to take their money, he was there to invest in their soul. Now, he would teach that it's right to do when God gives you a pastor, but he shunned those things. He didn't want to be accused of those things. He didn't want to use flattering words. He didn't, you know, want to take from the people. And he wasn't there for glory. It says in, again, verse number 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others. He wasn't there to get men to applaud him. Now, if any man could have been worthy of applaud, the Apostle Paul, without a doubt. I mean, you stop and think. We looked at last Sunday morning in a story and the message on heaven I believe the Word of God teaches that the Apostle Paul's will be one of the names in the very foundation of the New Jerusalem. It's pretty awesome. But he didn't seek any glory. All he wanted was for people to see Jesus. Philippians chapter 3. Brother Ben, can you put that verse 8, I think? Philippians 3, I think it is. If I'm wrong on this, we'll find it. Yes, that's it. All right, so look at this, all right? Paul said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, what did Paul say in this verse? He said, everything that I would have to brag on, who cares? Who cares? I want zero glory. I just want Christ and his excellence to be shown. Now, that's something to stand up here today and to be able to preach that. You think, yep, that's a great man, Paul. That should be all of our goal. Which means, ready? We don't have to be told thank you all the time. Now, it's good to thank those who do things. It's right to do. But if no one has told you thank you for what you've done lately, it's okay, God still sees that. If no one's told you how great a job you did singing, or no one's told you how great a job you did playing that instrument, or teaching your class, or bringing that lesson, or cleaning, or fixing, or whatever it may have been that you have done lately, God knows. And Paul wasn't here to get man's glory. And anything that he may have used that, he said, I want no part of it. I just want God to get the glory. So you see here in his life, you see what he shunned, and then in verse 7 and 8, what he showed. We'll close with this. He showed these two things. Number one, he showed love. In verse number 7, it says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Paul loved them. And here's a word that he used, and I want you to stop and consider it with me tonight. Gentle. If you would all follow things that I do on social media, you know it's kind of been a pet peeve of mine lately. I try to keep pet peeves out of the pulpit, but hammer them on social media, right? But it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, the harshness and the hatred and the bitterness of Christians in their social media world. You have a lot of lost people that see these things, and you need to be careful. Take a stand. Speak the truth in love. But understand that we have responsibility. We need to treat people gently. As a nurse her children. You say, well, this guy at Goshen McDonald's. Uh-huh. Yeah, we can all stand up and testify right now, right? This person at Goshen McDonald's. And I see things like this from Christians. Their workers are idiots. And the post right before that is, hey, watch my church service live. What's the chances of the people at Goshen McDonald's watching your church service when you just called them an idiot? You've been quiet all night, so I might as well just stay on this stuff, right? Yeah. What's the chance? We have to learn here in the church. The kids are coming back on the bus pretty soon. They're going to be crazy. I'm just warning you now. they're going to be crazy. The first few weeks back, they're going to be out of control. I'm just warning you. Yeah, it's going to be. All right? Sunday school teachers, you're like, retire. Right? Yeah, right? I mean, it's coming. They've had no structure at all since March. Zero. Right? And I know, because a lot of them are my friends on certain things, and, you know, and I watch them, it's like, what happened to them? Right? It's just, wow. Right? But they're all excited about coming back to church. And I'm excited about them coming back to church. Gently. He said here in this passage of Scripture, he said, but we are gentle among you, as a nurse cherisheth her children. In other words, he said, you know how I treated you, just as a mother would a newborn child. Just as a mommy bird to those baby birds in the nest. The idea is they protect to keep warm, tender, loving care. The people that God brings into your life, cherish them. And I know sometimes you have to be stern, and I know sometimes you have to, but there's a difference between being stern and being angry. It's a difference between having discipline and correction and losing your temper and yelling. Gentle. In the ministries that God's given us, and Paul, he dealt with a lot of pretty rough stuff in his ministry, but he focused, he said, now you know this, that we were gentle among you. Which means this, that probably there were some in Thessalonica that deserved a tongue lashing. But it stood out, and Paul was able to pull it out here. You know that we were gentle among you. Not only you see love, but you see his life in verse number 8. He showed them love and life. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You know, if there's two phrases that really jump out to me in that verse, and I only say it because as we get back going into things and these ministries start, you know, more and more, the phrases that really stand out to me in this verse, and I know this is not one of those run up and down the aisles, but there's some good stuff here for us to think about tonight. So being affectionately desirous of you. Let me ask you a quick question. Who are you, apart from your children, apart from your spouse, I mean people that God has brought into your ministry, people to reach with the gospel that you've been allowed of God and entrusted with, make a list tonight in your mind right now of the people that you are, as the Word of God says, affectionately desirous of. That means this, you're pouring your heart into them. And you desperately want to see them come to the truth. Who's on that list in your life? Who do you have on that list tonight that you're affectionately desirous of? That I mean, like, when you wake up in the morning, pray for them. When you go to bed at night, you lift their name up in prayer. They're on your mind throughout the day. Every chance you get, maybe send them a message, tell them you're praying for them, or you invest, or you share something else with them about the Lord. Who's on your list tonight? Who are you affectionately desirous of? Who could you say, the other thing that stands out in this verse is the last part of it, they're dear unto you. There should be people in my life and your life that God has placed in our life that we know we need to invest in, that they're there to try to reach, that are on our heart and mind. They're dear unto you. It should go without saying your children are that way. It should go without saying your spouse should be that way. But there should be other people in your life that God has placed that you could testify of that. And if there's no one on that list tonight, I want to challenge you as your pastor to come to this altar and get a name from God. get a name from God tonight. Say, God, who do you want me to pour my life into? God, aren't you thankful for the gospel? Aren't you thankful that you have the gospel? God did not give it to you to put it in your pocket and hide it. God gave it to you to share it with someone. And He's going to bring people in your life that He will not bring into my life. There's going to be people that God's going to cross your path with, that mine will never cross with, and me with the people you'll never cross with, that God wants us to share this with them. To give them this. They longed for this. They wanted to give this to them. They loved them. You see, He didn't just tell them what was right. He lived it and showed it to them. Because He noticed in His verse, and we'll close with this, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. It's a powerful scripture. I don't think Paul's exaggerating, or else the Holy Spirit wouldn't have let him write it. Paul said, you know this, Thessalonians, that I didn't come for any reason other than I loved your soul. And I, ready for this? I would gladly have died for you. If you could hear the gospel. Ultimately, Paul did that for people. We just have this different mentality amongst our Christianity today. Unfortunately, our mentality a lot of times is what can we get out of this? I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've grown up in church, and not just in church, but grandpa, pastor, uncle, pastor, dad, and all this other stuff. I can't tell you how many people I've seen get out of church, and here's the reason. I'm just not getting nothing out of it. Ever heard that phrase? Just not getting nothing out of it. Well, I get that you need to come to church and get some feeding. I understand that. But the mentality a lot of times and where people get disgruntled is because church and God becomes all about what I'm getting, right, when it should be what I can give. Yeah. And when everything becomes about me, I'm going to get very frustrated too. Because that's not what we were created for. I like Paul's attitude. Close with this. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just turn over there and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14. I'll make a few statements and pray. It says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. He's saying the same thing to the Corinthians. I don't want nothing from you. I just want you to know the Lord. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Paul gives us something here to challenge us tonight. At the end of the day, when our life is over, what we have and what we own means nothing. I mean, nothing. And I get that we need to take care of things, and I get that, I understand it, and we have to do that. But unfortunately, people, and too many Christians today, we get so concerned with ourself, we get so focused on stuff, we get so self-centered, we get so materialistic that we forget. Paul told us the truth here. I'm glad to spend myself for you. When we learn the secret and the joy of just giving ourselves for other people, everything changes. In my devotions this morning, I know I just told you I wasn't going to read another verse, but I just thought about this. Is it Proverbs? I don't know if I can even find this. Give me a second here. Talk amongst yourselves. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Proverbs chapter 14. I think it's... What verse was that? Anybody see my tweet today? What was that this morning? Man, I just thought about this, and it's a good thought. 14:14? Yes, thank you. Did you look up my tweet? Did you not? Thank you. All right. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I just love this phrase. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Man, I've thought about that all day. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider in heart, we get filled with our own. When we get filled with our self, you're heading towards backsliding every time. But I love this. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. In other words, I don't need to please me. I don't need to make myself happy. I don't need to be the center of attention. Dare I preach on that right now? I don't need to be the center of attention. I don't need to be everybody, applauded by everybody. I don't need to be the hero. You with me? I don't need my name put on a screen. I don't need everyone's applause. There's one last thing in that text I want to read, 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 15. I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, what did Paul say? The less I be loved. I would love to tell you that on this earth, the more that you invest in people, the more they're going to always love you. It just don't always happen that way. My dad told me this growing up, and it's just been true. The more you invest in people, the more they can hurt you. But he taught me right. It's not a reason not to invest in people. He just said, just know it could happen. But Alexander's going to find as he goes to Florida, his heart will continually be molded towards people as a pastor. He's going to invest in some. There's going to be some, brother, that just walk away. And it's going to hurt in a different kind of hurt than you've ever felt before. You'll be tempted to take it personally. You'll be tempted to get angry. You'll be tempted to get depressed. You'll be tempted to quit. Because you pour yourself. And you can't believe they don't care. The Sunday school teacher will feel that way. The bus worker will feel that way. The school teacher will feel that way. But understand with the ministry, it's not what you can get from God's people, but what you can give to God's people. We're to have a Christ-like heart. Amen? A lot of people unfortunately think that God just wants their money or God just wants to rob them of their joy. But we that are saved know it's different. God doesn't want anything from us. He wants us to have what he has. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The same with us. Do a little check on your heart tonight. Just answer this simple question. And if you can't answer it right, I encourage you to get that corrected with God tonight. Do you get filled with resent when you're under or not appreciated? Do you get angry when you invest in someone or something and they don't care? Because if that's the truth, then probably there's a little motivation error in your life. Because it shouldn't be for what we can get out of people, but what we can give to people. when we get that situated in our heart and in our mind, it will change our ministry. Paul said, you know why I came? I came for nothing. I didn't want anything. I wasn't looking for anything other than this, you. I had only you on my heart. I was affectionately desirous of you. You were dear to me. So who's on that list for you tonight? Who has God brought into your life that right now you say, I know God has put this person in my life for me to invest in? If that list is empty tonight, you're missing something. You're missing something.